Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 673. I don't know why I said it that way, but I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I just had a startling revelation. I think wrestling is fake.
Sacre bleu! What gives you that impression? I do not know why you went French.
Is this so shocked it made him French. That's what happened.
This is fun. Off the rails immediately. Earl is here as well. French Earl.
I just found that Russian's fake, so I'm...
And Jeff is here as well.
Definitely wrestling was fake.
Hi. What? I'm not sure what's going on. yes, Tony, I do believe wrestling may be fake.
Damn it. Wrestling is fake. The NBA is rigged.
I mean,
NFL games go by a script. What's happening here?
So, all right. I won't get too deep into the wrestling, but like fake is maybe the incorrect term for it. It is scripted. It is, everything is set up, but like they are legitimately athletic and doing like jumping and sometimes going through tables.
That's always the defense, but like, I don't think that when people say it's fake, that's not what they're saying. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, they're saying it's scripted.
I do think some people are like, oh, they're not, like, it's not real. Like, no, when, like, you get hit with a chair, it still hurts.
Yeah.
Now maybe you know exactly how to move your body so that the chair, and that's the athletic part, right? It's like knowing how to make it look like you got hit by a chair really hard.
Or sometimes you just, like, I remember this years ago, back when, I mean, The Rock is back, so it's kind of, like, hard to go. Back when The Rock was around. I think it was a Royal Rumble match with Mick Foley, Mankind, and he took like 17 chair shots to the head. Mick Foley does not remember that match. Like, it's been knocked out of his head. He get multiple concussions from it. Like, absolutely insane. Like, some of the stuff that they used to kind of go, it's much safer now. Or I guess it's supposed to be safer. Earl watches more of it than I do. So, would you say it's safer now, Earl?
I mean, I think they are, like any, I think, major sports in the past decade or so, they've become a lot more aware of stuff like concussions and stuff like that. So, yes, I do think they tend to take more precautions to make sure things are safer. But like anything, you know, as they say, accidents happen.
Yeah.
When people say it's, I mean, people can say whatever. It's never been a big deal to me. But like, I think when people say it's fake, I think in my experience, whenever people said that, it's never been a thing about, you know, like, if it's fake. It's always been a way to kind of degrade the entertainment for people who watch it. Like, you're watching something that you know is fake and made up. And it's like, yes, I watch movies and play video games. I know those are not real either.
Of course. Do you guys ever see that classic clip where Roddy Piper is on Bill Maher and Bill Maher tries to tell him that wrestling is fake?
No. Did he go off?
He stood up and he started like lifting up his shirt. He pulled down his pants and showed his ass, all the injuries and bruises and whatnot all over his body. He's like, you think it's fake? I'm surprised you guys haven't seen that. Earl, you haven't seen that one?
I don't think so.
I get where everyone's coming from with it. But like, again, when people say it's fake, they don't mean. I guess they could mean what Earl said. Yeah. There's that angle of it too. It's like, why would you want? You know.
It's an athletic soap opera.
Hey man, if you like it, I got nothing against wrestling. I'm just not into it. Like.
Yeah, I will say I've always found it funny that. It's not, I guess, but like in the ways that it's evolved. Because when I was growing up in the 90s, it was so popular for men. Now a lot of my friends consider, they say it's like, it's drag. And I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. It's entertainment. It evolved with time. It is clearly fake and staged, but it's fun. It's entertaining when it's done right. So like, yes, you know, you get invested in the characters, you get invested in the world. Like, I'm not going to go there and tell you like these are the best athletes in the world or something like that. But the sheer entertainment they provide is probably second to none, especially being that as somebody who likes dive entertainment, I don't think anything compares to professional wrestling. I hate basketball. And I think, I mean, my favorite sport to watch in person is actually hockey. But I don't think any of them have the energy of professional wrestling when you actually go to an event with thousands of people. So I think it's one of the few sports that, like, not only wants you to be involved, it actually actively encourages. Like, if audience isn't participating, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like watching, like turning it on the television and seeing, like, a rabid crowd, like, they're, you know, they're holding up their signs and cheering. They're doing a back and forth with the people in the ring. And there are, like, I watched a little bit. I don't watch much AEW, but I watch a little bit. Sometimes their crowds are like completely flat. I used to watch TNA years ago, which is a terrible name for any organization.
Yeah. It was
like tits and ass. But sometimes their crowds were incredibly flat, and it makes it worse. Like, it's like the crowd's not into it, so it's like you're not really into it either when you're watching it on the screen.
I think the bigger question here is, how did we get on wrestling? Why did Tony push us down this road?
I assume because we were talking about WrestleMania this weekend, and Chris and I are both going.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Earl has been to multiple WrestleManias, yes?
Yes, this would be, I think this is my fifth.
Yeah, so I've never been to one, and it's in Philly. The last time it was here was 25 years ago. I think it was WrestleMania 15. And that was like the last time I was really, maybe not the last time, but it was like, that was the era, like when I was back watching it mostly. It's like that was like the Attitude Era of WWE.
It's been that long. Philadelphia has hosted other events. Like, yeah, I guess they haven't had WrestleMania. Because we kind of get boned because it's like, especially since they started doing the stadiums, like the Northeast is kind of unreliable for weather. And I mean, to be fair, we've proven that this week.
Oh, yeah. Like, it could have been really bad if the weather that it has been for the last 3 days, what was coming up this weekend, like it could have been awful.
Yes, but it does seem like it is turning to be a very nice weekend. So,
but yeah, I've never been, The Rock has come back, so I am. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. Like, I enjoy watching The Rock as a performer, mostly as an actor nowadays. But I think the stuff they've been doing in WWE with The Rock coming back has been quite enjoyable, with his social media stuff and what they've been doing on television. I only watch it in like clips. I don't sit down for what's it, raw now, 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot of commitment. Like, even I tend to watch it, but I tend to watch it a lot in like the background of like either another movie or a game, because 3 hours is just a lot of time to invest in anything, especially every week, and that's one show. Then it's 2 hours for SmackDown, 2 hours for NXT, AEW is another 2 hours.
Yeah, watching wrestling can be a huge commitment if you watch a lot of it. So, I'm hoping for a good time. I have not been to a live wrestling event. The last one I went to was in Trenton. It was a TNA pay-per-view when Sting was still there. So, He has since left there, joined WWE, left there, retired for like 5 years, came back, and he just retired again.
Yes.
So we're talking like maybe 10, 15 years ago was the last time I've been to a live wrestling event.
Yeah, I went to one on Monday.
you
it's
were
so long. I can't even remember what they're like.
It was in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally 25 minutes from my face. I honestly did not want to go, not anything to do with it, but because I knew I was going this weekend. I was like, that's a lot of, again, I enjoy it, but that's a lot of time to invest in anything. But my friends are like, oh, we got tickets, just pay me back. I'm like, Sure, I guess I'm going with you folks. So,
and WrestleMania is a giant commitment. I think the show starts at 6:30. It's probably not going to end, and it's two nights straight. Yeah. So it's probably not going to until like 11 or so each night. It's going to be a long weekend. But hopefully I will see Earl this weekend in the stadium.
Well, I'm probably not in this hopey before because I got to figure that stuff I'll figure out because I'm like, I probably will do stuff around because I want to get there like 6. My friends are very insane. They probably want to get there like 4. I'm like, I'm not going to get there super early for something. The show starts at 7, doors are like 5:30. I'm like, I get there 6, get in, get, you know, food and stuff. Yeah.
Plus, your name is Earl and not Early.
Yes.
Well, we could talk all about Earl's trip to Philly next week. Played some games. There's also a report that kind of came out. I think it was on Kotaku, but some report there that I kind of want to touch on. But Tony, you were not here last week.
True.
We were told Jeff poorly explained Dragon's Dogma.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy we're all here, so we could satisfy to Walter's satisfaction.
discuss the game in a way that's coherent. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't listen. I haven't had time to listen to last week's episode, so I don't know.
I didn't know what I wanted to say about it. I've made up my mind more now.
Well, okay. I mean,
I played like an hour of it.
Oh, you played an hour. An hour is probably not the experience. You haven't even made it like out of the tutorial.
I think I've made it to summoning a pawn, and then Jeff's guy was like, "There's a treasure chest up there," and I was like, "Where?" And so I wandered around for a little bit until I found it, and it's like, "This is fucking annoying," and I shut it off and went and played Final Fantasy VII. I will get back to it. Sure. But Tony, you've played over close to 30 hours of it.
Yeah,
I think
I've played a lot of this game now. Yeah.
And so is Jeff.
I not knowing what Jeff said, I don't know quite where to start, but I kind of like this game gives me the feeling of actually going out on an adventure more than most games do.
Okay.
So basically you have your character and you're out in this world and you're doing stuff. But it does a good job of putting you in a universe that seems to be alive around you. And there's stuff happening without you. And I think the pawn system really, really conveys that super well. So like so backing up. So there's no fast travel. I mean, there is fast travel, but it's really contrived.
Limited.
That's how you get the sense of adventure. You're hoofing it everywhere.
Exactly. So basically you're starting out your day. You're like wherever you stayed the night before. So maybe you stayed in an inn, maybe you stayed in your house or whatever. And then you go out on adventure and you bring your pawns with you. And you're like, you're out there until the next time you stay in an inn or in your house. So like, that's like it could be a huge journey. Like sometimes you're out there like forever and you kind of feel like Frodo as he's getting to like towards Mount Doom at the end and your guys are all exhausted and they're like running out of health and you're like, please get me to the next town before we die. Because the save system is such that like you either save like a very tiny amount back from where you currently are or all the way back at the inn or the house where you started your little journey.
Usually you can't really like you can't load previous save. It's just like,
yeah,
usually if something bad happens, it's like auto saving all.
Yes. That bad thing that happened to you. And it might suck. Maybe your pawn got thrown off a cliff and it's dead at the bottom and all your pawn is fucked.
And I've been in a situation or two now where I'm like, man, we're all like your health bar gets like drained to where like you can't refill it. And you're like, man, I'm in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Do I use this? Like, you know, there is fast travel, but it's like, do I use this, you know, finite item that I have? Very finite. It's not like you have a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
you can buy more. Like, and the game kind of throws money at you. So, like, if you need to use that little fast travel stone, you can get one. Like, it's not like you're gonna use them all up. But like, they're definitely limited to the point where you're like, I really need to use this if I'm gonna use it.
I've never had more than two on me. Never.
Well, I mean, I have like seven, but like, I put five in my, like, I never carry more than a couple. But I kind of, I like the healing system. So like, you get injured and you can like cast spells or use food to heal. But like, as you get injured, it decreases the amount you're allowed to heal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cool, like...
That I like that mechanic, because that sort of encourage, like, it makes getting hurt effective, right? Like in most of these games, you like, yeah, you got whacked pretty hard. Well, you used a potion, and in most games, well, you got all better. Well, that's not really how things work, though. Like, your arm needs some time to heal. You need to go back and stay at the inn and convalesce. But that whole like element puts a little survivalness into like every time you go out the door, which I think is super cool. I do like those stones. There's been a couple times. Well, there was one time where my party was about to be annihilated by a griffin. Like, we were all out of health, and like, I used one in the middle of battle. I did try to do that in a cave once. They don't work in caves. You have to be outside.
And to your adventuring point too. I'm currently on a mission that sent me into a cave pretty deep, and yeah, you know, I finished it, but now it's like time to leave. And, you know, normally I'd like fast travel out of here.
Yeah.
I'm lost in the cave. Can't find my way out. Which is kind of, you know, it's kind of, hey, it sets it apart in some way.
And one of your pawns doesn't know the way out?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Oh, you're screwed. Like, that's the other cool part, is like, you build this like party around the pawns. And like, the pawns are like in a living, breathing universe. Like, they've done shit that have nothing to do with what you've done in the game. So like, you're walking down the road and there's a pawn that knows that there's like a stone over here that you can go grab, or like a treasure chest, or he's like, I know where this cool cave is. You could just follow him to it, which is kind of cool. Like, they know more about the world than you do, because they've like had these experiences in other people's games, and like, bring that back to your game. I think that's super, super cool.
I think my workaround might be, because like, my pawn doesn't know the way to the next quest. Maybe if I chose one of my other open quests, like, he would
lead me out of the cave. Yeah, I bet your pawn would know how to get out, yeah.
That might be my next, like, what I'm going to try to get out of this. Yeah. I'm going in circles in this fucking place.
Like, there are a lot of times, like, you don't even need to use the map if you have a quest, because your pawn will just take you straight there.
But you're
stuck in the cave, so you can't even like go get a different pawn that might know where to go next.
Right.
That brings me to like my funny story I told you guys in like the group chat, and I forgot to bring it up last week, which is that like, in order to get to this desert town, which is like the second big town you go to, you need like this checkpoint pass. Like, there's a checkpoint town, and you need to show a guard this pass, and they open a gate for you to get past, and then you're back on the road towards this next town you're getting to, right? Well, I had a quest to go to this other town, and I did not have the checkpoint pass yet. In fact, I've never even found the checkpoint town at this point. If I had not listened to my pawn, I would have ran into this town. But instead, my pawn was like, hey, I know the way to our next quest. Like, I know the way to get to this town. I was like, okay, cool, I'll follow you. And he took me on the longest circle around the map. So like, there is a way to like bypass this checkpoint, but you have to like literally go like in a gigantic circle around the map, fighting enemies way, way past my level. Essentially, like, my pawn, since he has played more of the game than me, like, he knew a way to get to this place, and he sent me into fucking danger and hell and a really long bogus journey that like I was not prepared for.
Good. I can't wait for your pawn and Tony's pawn to just like murder me as they're like, I know where we're going.
I know the way.
And make sure you, like, just pick a quest that's not like on the other side of the map. You'll be fine.
Well, like, the thing is, it's like that desert town, like when you're in, was it Ventworth or something? The main first town.
That's the main.
You can see, all right, I have to go like southwest to like get to this next town. And that's how you would run into the checkpoint town. He sent me like northeast out of Ventworth, and we went and like, dude, just like all over, and like, again, like way overpowered by fucking enemies and shit. I don't know how I fucking made it to that desert town in the first place. And then once there, I did not understand the like rift or the
because you're missing like the story beats that are supposed to get you there.
No, I did not understand like the port crystal system yet. Like, I assumed every town had a port crystal.
Yeah, that one doesn't. Which, like,
no, you have to set them down. Yeah. It's like, oh fuck. So like, I had to make it back there yet again once I was ready for it. That's kind of where I am.
And that town is a journey to get to. Like, I went I got the pass. I got through the gate, which I'm not going to spoil for you, but you have to do something to get through the gate. That's pretty funny. And then I went all the way to the town, and that is like, it is far, and the enemies to get there are tough. There's like griffins everywhere.
Once you get close, oh my god, there's shit everywhere.
I was actually, I got to the desert town. I like walked like a couple feet towards the edge of town and got attacked by a griffin. I hadn't even left town. The thing just dropped from the sky. But those battles are cool. I like the boss battles. They're sufficiently epic. You got like giant things. Your pawn is like, because my pawn is like a melee, they're like climbing on top of it and like hitting it in the head, and you're like summoning spells. Like, they look awesome.
It is cool when like I'm casting a lightning spell, one of my other pawns is casting fire, like a, you know, wave of fire over them, and yeah, you got like your warriors climbing up them and fighting them. And it does have like in moments of that, it does kind of like remind you of Monster Hunter in a way, where it's just like everyone fucking doing what they can to fucking bring this thing down, like chipping away at this thing.
It's also fun that there's like just random pawns walking around that get involved in those battles.
Like, yeah, they also
some
stop
wizard
you
that's
when
not
you're
even
walking.
Any part. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, you could hire me, like, but I'm good, bro. I got a level 41 pawn with me. I'm all right. Chris?
I mean, as I said, I only played an hour, so I played through that whole like prison section. I was not impressed by the opening cutscene. I was like, why is everybody looks wet? Like in that throne room, like it was really weird. And then like once you get out of there, like nobody looks like they look fine. Like it's like, what the fuck was that? Like really weird cutscene. And then they're like, hey, move some rocks.
That was ray tracing, Chris. That's what that was.
Oh, well, it was shit. Like, like this is a bad cutscene. Also makes zero sense because, like, I mean, I guess it's in first person, so you don't really know who that is, and maybe
who is
they
dying
explain
right
it at some
now?
Point.
What is happening? And why are they dying? I don't get. What's this voice out of nowhere? I don't understand.
Right. And then you're in this pawn prison. And you're like picking up rocks and moving them. And then you fight a Gorgon. Like, that was cool. Like, you know, she was epically big. I'm like hiding behind like these little booths and stuff, like shooting my arrows at it while the other pawns are attacking it. Like, that's fun.
You're an archer?
Yeah.
Oof.
Which, like, that's generally how I play like a lot of fantasy games is
my vocation this whole time has been mage. So I maxed out the mage. I've gotten that all the way to the end. I switched to archer, and I tried it for a little bit, and I was like, oh, interesting, and then I went back to mage.
I can't give mage up because of the anodyne spell.
Yeah.
What's like, that spell?
It's a healing spell. It makes this like orb of healing that everybody can come into and heal.
Got it. I mean, I did make my main pawn a mage, and like made them, because like you can set their tendencies, their personality, I guess.
Yeah.
So I like set her to be more, basically like more helpful, like a more of a support role.
Or, yeah.
And then I picked up your pawn and Tony's pawn. And, like, they're much higher level than me, so I should be okay in the early going.
What is Tony's pawn? Like, what vocation is his pawn?
It's, what is it, barbarian? It's whatever not the not fighter one is. The other kind of melee.
Had, like, an axe, like...
Yeah, like the heavier.
Wait till you see it like knocking heads, because that my pawn can like knock people across the screen. It's pretty fun to watch.
And you can unlock like different, like it's you're not just limited to those four vocations, right? Like they're
right. There's a bunch.
Yeah, they, well, you the unlock one, more as you specialize.
The heavier, like melee vocation is one of the ones you unlock later. I think, right? Like, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Available right away, and
the ones I think the ones available to start are like archer, thief, mage, and then fighter.
Yeah, and then you can unlock sorcerer, and I can't remember what it's supposed to be, barbarian, whatever the fuck it is. And then the rest of them are locked to the arisen only. Like you can't be, like there's like
your pawn can't be, but you can.
Yeah, it's like a.
It sucks because I want to get.
And there's a trickster and like a war something.
I wanted to hire a mystic spear hand or whatever it's fucking called, and yeah. you don't find those in the rift
because yeah, those aren't pawns. Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, like there's like everyone's like, oh, magic archer's fun. Like I'm like, okay, like we'll see if I get there. Yeah, like it was. I think it is. I played a little bit of the first one, like 5 hours of that one. This is significantly better than that, but I don't know. I don't know if it's my type of game. Like as Tony, you were kind of like explaining, like, you know, it's more of like, you know, like you're out there just surviving in the open. Like I need a little more direction sometimes. Like, I don't mind if there's shit to go do off on the side, but it's like, how do I get to the next thing? Like, can I mainline this? And everything I've read and watched is like, you don't want to mainline this game. It's just go out and like adventure. It's like D&D, the live action version of it. Like, okay, we'll see. Not sure it's for me. I'm glad you guys are liking it though.
I like it. Here's where I fall on it is I like it. And it's giving me my like RPG itch for sure. Like, you know, it's feel like when I sit down and play a game right now, I'm playing that. That said, I don't love it as much as the people that like really love this series, or even like probably not as much as Tony, because like I just think that the combat in it, it's fun, it's fine, but. You know, the two recent great RPGs, in my opinion, are Baldur's Gate 3 and Elden Ring. And the combat is not as good as either of those. Like, it's different than either of those, but it's just not as good. Like,
what I felt of playing the Archer is it's very loose.
Yeah.
It's a little more, I don't want to say arcadey, because that sounds like maybe I'm, like, insulting it, but... the controls are like, and some of that is right. There's no lock on. So it's like, I have to like line up my shots, and it makes it a little more difficult with the Archer. Although they do like, if I just do the quick attack, it's like an auto aim.
When you start to pull back your bow, it doesn't give like a circle over the enemy that you're looking at.
So what there is like precision aiming. And like when I do that, it does. And then otherwise it's like, you're just tapping, and it's a like you can like kind of rapid fire.
I don't get why you wouldn't just do what Elden Ring does, which is like you right click the stick to select a character, and then, or a lot of RPGs do this. Fucking Harry Potter did it last year. Like, you right click the stick, it selects the nearest enemy. If you want to aim at another one, then you move the stick left or right, and it'll select them. Here's just kind of like,
I mean, that's something that this game like seems like it seems to be bucking standard trends, like, because like even in Final Fantasy VII
Rebirth, it wants it to be chaos. People. I think it wants it to be chaos. Like, but that said, when I start to pull a spell, if I start facing in a direction, there will be like a circle that slowly closes in on the enemy that I'm like kind of looking at, and I can just adjust the camera to like try to look at someone else.
Got it.
And it is cool. Well, I don't know. This might not matter to you as an archer. I don't know how that class plays so much, but you do get like, as a mage, you do get an upgrade that is like, you could basically like really speed up how long the spell takes to cast, which is useful because it takes forever.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be a lot of fights I get like, into. This thing will be dead.
Yeah,
sorry, what?
Yeah. No, it makes it instant. Like, it's great.
Yeah, there are, you know, I mean, the archer's clearly different. It has like, you know, the quick shot, and then there's like a special that you can do where you hold down like one of the buttons and then press X or whatever it is, and it'll do like a barrage shot. And then there's like precision aiming as well. Like, there's different skills that I can unlock. And I saw that in that fake in the first area. Like, you can kind of like upgrade your skills there. So I gotta look at some of them. What else was that? One thing, I don't have a melee weapon.
Yeah, you can really kick.
Fucking weird. Kick. Like, yeah, it's a kick. It's so fucking strange. Like, because
how do you kick?
It's like Y or something like that.
The archer can kick. The mage can't kick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like, do this like flying kick. I think I have a clip of it. I'll share it with you, Jeff. It's absurd because like these goblins, you get attacked like after you leave. These goblins attack you, and you're being shuttled by like some lieutenant to the first area, basically. And these like three goblins attack, and like one got up close, and like you're ranged fighters as an archer, so. It's like you can kick them. It's like she does like this weird spin kick, kick the goblin to the side. It's just absurd looking, especially since in the first game, the class was called Strider, and it seems like what they did was they got rid of Strider from the first game and split it into Archer and Thief. So like the Thief has the knives that the Strider had, and the Archer has the bow that the Strider had from the first game. So like they gimped that a little bit. I don't know. I will definitely play more of it. So
lies. Lies.
I generally play the games I get. I put 8 to 10 hours into Elden Ring.
Oh, you did not.
I did.
He didn't.
I watched you play it.
You did. You watched me play it. That wasn't the start. I had already played like 5 hours up until that point. That was the last time I played it.
You may have played more than like Tony in that game, but probably I don't think you've got further than anyone else. You made it to the first level. By the way, can I ask you? I'm not trying to pick on you, but like, how far did you get in Baldur's Gate?
Not very far.
I don't get why you put that one down, because that one is. That's so great, that game. Like, I couldn't get myself off of that for 2 months.
I can't answer that other than like there were other things that were like, oh, this is only like a 6 or 10 hour game that I can play right now as well. So like I jumped into that as opposed to like.
But you were liking it, like
yeah. What I played of it, I liked. Yeah. I did not like it. I'm like with Elden Ring, I was like. This game is clearly not designed for me.
I thought you were doing fine. He was. I mean, you got the jitters.
He probably
when
was
first
playing
started.
It fine. He just didn't like it.
I mean, he needed a little. He could use some help, but also it's weird to play like a game like that on a stream. In my opinion, like, or to play any game on a stream, it's like it's weird when you know someone's watching you play a game.
I did not play everything that I played in that game on stream, so.
But it is fascinating. Yeah. I do hear from people that it's hard to kind of like play, because you also, not only are people watching, but also you have to think of what you're saying.
Yeah, that's
kind of
that's,
keeping entertained.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I've never done it, but I could imagine I would feel like on the spot or something. Like, you know, I gotta keep people like engaged in what I'm doing.
I mean, there's like six people that follow my Twitch
channel. It was literally just me watching, but yeah, but even it just
you, Sean, Walt, Fozzie, like that's who stops in when I stream.
Yeah, but you know that, like, I'm examining what you're doing. I'm trying to, like, message you and tell you what to do or whatever. You know, like, it's,
oh,
it's
yeah. different. And, like, than and just... I mean, Sean, when I played a little bit of Demon Souls that way, like, I think Sean stopped by and he was like, oh, this is what you do to kill that boss or whatever.
Yeah.
It also varies. Some people don't, like, backseat gaming. They don't like people telling them what to do.
I think for a game like that, Earl, like where I'm not comfortable playing it, like, yes, please tell me what I'm doing, Earl.
Yeah,
Mario, maybe don't.
Yeah, Mario was very funny. Again, I was for the peak of it for me was on the pandemic. I mean, I've never really streamed, but I'd watch people stream, and it's always like fascinating to see like people because there are people who they get more frustrated if you're telling them like, oh no, you need to do this. No, you have to. I get it. Especially with that weird delay sometimes between like when a message is actually sent and when somebody gets it. It's like sometimes up to like a minute delay, I find.
It can be, yeah. I don't know why that is. Like, I think it's just the way some of Twitch shuts it up that it's like you're getting the delay of the gameplay.
This is a long way around for me of saying that, like, you should really go back to Baldur's Gate, man. Like, the game is something special. You should go back to Elden Ring, too. I'll help you out there. But I think, like, you know, you're into, like, what Baldur's Gate, like
that type more of game. More so than Dragon's Dogma, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm saying, like, yeah, you're leaving something... It's fine, you know. Yeah,
it's still installed on my machine. Yeah. Like I didn't uninstall it. Like it is a game. Like
you will. Like if you dig that genre, like some of the battles in that are just so fucking awesome, dude. Like, and like another thing that like, because again, like Dragon's Dogma to me, I most closely relate it to that just because you have the whole party in it. Like, and it's kind of the same kind of typical fantasy setting. Like, you know, not just the battles in Baldur's Gate, but again, like this is rare for me to say, but like the story stuff is fucking awesome, and how much you like have control over shaping it is awesome, and like the fact that anything happened and it's still interesting.
So, what do you guys think of the story in Dragon's Dogma or Tony?
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about it, Tony.
I mean, I do like a good story, but I don't need it.
Do you like the story in it?
In Dragon's Dogma, it's there.
It's more about just going out and adventuring and
it's kind of like the thing I like about strategy games, like that emergent like storytelling based on what you're doing, as opposed
to.
I mean, I'm glad both of you are liking it. Seems like it's gonna take both of you some time to play through it.
It's so weird. I looked up on how long to beat, and it said 22 hours, and I'm like, what? I'm in the second town. Like, I'm nowhere... I looked up a guide, and I'm like, on, you know, step 4 or 5 of the guide out of, like, fucking 20 steps, like, you know what I mean? Like, 20 chapters. I'm like, there's no way this is a 20-hour game. Like, what are you fucking talking about?
Well, the thing about it is, though, like, none of the story missions have been difficult in any way, shape, or form. Like, everything related to the main quest has been simplicity. It's like all like the other stuff that I've been doing that's hard, like the random ogres I run into. Yeah,
exactly.
There's multiple videos of these out there from different people, but I watched one of like, you know, 10 things you're doing wrong in Dragon's Dogma or something, or these are 10 ways for you to play it better. And like one of the ones is like, you know, if you mainline it, like it can be done in like 30 hours. It's just like you're not experiencing what that game has to offer because like you're not going into that cave where you got lost, Jeff, or you know,
that's a main quest that I was doing. It's for sure a main quest.
Okay, so you just got lost on a main quest.
Yeah, I did what I had to do in the cave, and they're like, all right, now go to this. Like, now you got to follow up on that and go somewhere else. And my pawn does not know the way. and I don't know the way. And it didn't feel like a very big cave. I just feel like I'm going in a giant circle, like inside of it, and I'm just missing the exit. Like, I'm sure I'll get the hair out.
Maybe you're in like a different use case. Yeah, I guess some people, but but like, you know, Tony's just like taking his party out, and they're fighting griffins out in the field or whatever.
Like, well, there's so it's like kind of an older RPG where like anytime you're out in open world, you're gonna be running into this shit constantly, you know, like, and you could probably kind of like grind away at it, but it doesn't even matter because anytime you're going anywhere, you're grinding away. Like, you're always running into this shit.
There's always combat to do,
and it's not just like random enemies either. There's like, oh look, it's a giant minotaur or a cyclops or one of those stone, like, big shit.
That's those just stone giants are all over that desert town, like outside of it, and like I had to run away because I'm like, it's too many things going on, and then the fucking wolves come in, they're surrounding you, and you're like, fuck.
Well, sometimes too, you'll get like two boss enemies that are right next to each other.
Yes, there are two right outside the desert town. There's two stone giants, and you're like, these are not easy enemies to take down. Like, they
you have to hit them in specific spots. It's like,
yes. And my magic's not that like good on them yet. Like, I'm mostly relying on my like fucking melee guys to take them down in a way.
I'm just gonna rely on your guys' pawns to do everything for me. So,
you know, what I found has helped me with the stone guys, Tony, is the ice spell.
Yeah, the ice spell's pretty good on those.
Pretty good on them. Yeah.
I hope you guys don't get the whatever the video game plague is.
Right, oh, I've heard about that.
Fuck up my game.
I've heard about it on Twitter. I've seen like they did. No, someone did mention it in the game. They're like, you know, there's a plague going around.
My pawns talk about it all the time.
Yeah, but like, please God, don't let that happen. Because like, I think it basically fucks your game in a lot of ways. Like,
evidently the towns will repopulate over time, but it just takes a really long time.
That's a little annoying. I think a step too far, but whatever. I'm enjoying the game. Like, again, to me, it's just like, I'm not like, this is not like the next big thing. It's just, it's a decent RPG. It has some like interesting, you know, quirks, like things that are like different about it than others.
I do like the pawn system.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Like, being as it's not a co-op game, but I can bring you guys into my game. I do wish it had like a, you know, cross-play pawn functionality, so like I could bring in Walt's pawn, or I have friends playing on PlayStation, like, but
I'm
stuck with you guys, but like
my only like big complaint with that is like I wish you could bring in my main dude, like me, like,
yeah,
because that's the character I spent on, like I invested everything into that character, like my main, like me. And then when it came time to make my pawn, I was just like, all right, I wanted to get to playing the game. And I just like, all right, I'm going to make him like a fighter class. And then I didn't like adjust him at all. Like,
you can still adjust him. You can make changes if you want.
I guess, but like, I just don't care about it enough.
I could tell, Jeff, that's why the first time that I got your pawn, you know how you can send them back with the gift?
He gave me
a rotten apple.
He gave me that, right? Yeah, I knew it. Like,
that's funny.
I usually give nothing. I just
I always give
up.
Like something small, but it's not.
I never have.
Somebody
anything
sent me a
like
golden beetle. I was like, oh, thanks.
Really? Someone sent you a golden beetle?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. For those of us who are not in the know, what is the golden
beetle? Yeah.
So one of the more challenging aspects of the game is managing like your inventory, because you can only carry so much.
Your weight.
As you level up, you can carry more, but you can also find these golden beetles that, if you use them, permanently raise your carrying capacity by a small amount.
Huge deal.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, yeah, so you can go out and find them in like the forest and like search them out. They're easy to see at night because they shine out really brightly. But yeah, somebody sent me one.
I honestly think that's like one of another cool idea I like is those beetles, because like some RPGs, and this is definitely one of them, like the carry weight is like a huge factor, And it's easy here to go like above average on your weight. And yeah, so like those beetles give you like what, like a pound and a half of max encumbrance, but like that's huge, man. Like
when you have to carry like camping equipment, right? Like you have to carry equipment that you use out in the field, not just your like extra weapon.
And everything you carry on you counts, unlike From Software games, like only the stuff you equip counts as your weight. Everything you're carrying here counts. So like if you're picking up like if you go into a cave and you find some like ore, that is very heavy and it like counts towards your weight. It sucks, dude. You're just like, fuck, man. Like I always like max out my weight, like, or not max out, but like get to the heavy zone, which you don't want to be too easily.
Yeah, it's hard to avoid.
Make you slow.
Yeah. It makes you slow. It makes your stamina go down quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will be talking more Dragon's Dogma 2 over the next few weeks.
It's all I got till Elden Ring DLC, as far as I can tell. I don't see shit else coming out.
Earl, did you play anything this week?
Nothing new, no.
So real quick, I forgot to mention this last week, but while I was away in Chicago to extend my my achievement streak, I picked like a game that I knew had like a lot of achievements and was easy to play. So I played some Brotato, which is it's like Vampire Survivors.
Oh, cool.
The difference here is that there's difficulty levels. So like you start out on difficulty 0 and it took me like probably like 10-15 runs to figure it out, and you have to get through 20 waves. And after each wave, all your materials that you've collected, you then go to a shop, and you can, if you've leveled up, you then upgrade your stats random wise. So like you'll get a card, 4 different cards, and you can pick from one of them, or you can reroll for some of your coins that you picked up. And then there's a shop. So unlike in Vampire Survivors, where like weapons would drop on the field, you would pick them up, or as you level up, like hey, here's 3 things. Which one would you want? This is like after the wave is over, you then get to select. Do you want like a new weapon? Do you want this item that does this thing for you? And that all costs gold that you're picking up as you're playing. And after every level, that happens, so 20 times. And then you want to get through wave 20, which is like a boss wave. And if you can survive that, then you've beaten difficulty level 0, and it unlocks difficulty level 1, which makes it a little bit harder. Same thing, though. Like, same thing as Vampire Survivors. Just a auto shooter. You're kind of just trying to survive out there. Not really different, because Vampire Survivors has different characters that you can play as. They have buffs and weaknesses. Depending on the character you pick, and same with this, there's different potatoes that like it's absurd. It doesn't look as good as Vampire Survivors. I think the enemy variety is weaker. Like I don't think it has like that same quality. But if you want a game like that, it's free on Game Pass, and there's plenty of content there. So it's also, I think, a $5 game total wise. Another game I played, which Jeff says is not a game. I played Princess Peach Showtime.
Oh, yes.
And I really liked that quite a bit. If you played the demo, Peach ends up in this playhouse, and each of the different theaters is a different play that is happening, and Peach takes on a role in that play to defeat the evil grape person. So like in the demo, I think it was the sword fighter and the patisserie. So she made like pastries.
Yes.
But in the actual game, like, you, there's Cowgirl Peach and there's Detective Peach and Ninja Peach and Ice Skater Peach and Superhero Peach, and like, so they're, each of the levels is kind of themed around that, and the gameplay is kind of set in that way. So Cowgirl Peach, like, she has a lasso, she can lasso enemies. It's all fairly basic, except I've only gotten through one of the levels where I've gotten all the stars. So you don't need a lot of the stars to advance, but like, it's not like, oh, you're going to play this and just blow through it. Like, you're going to miss some things, you know, as you're playing through. I think it's like ultimately probably the same level of difficulty as Kirby.
So it's easy.
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah, it's an easy game. It's very low impact, I would say. But I think it's fun. All the levels have like a nice look to them. The detective one is neat because like, you're kind of going around, they're giving you clues, and you're trying to find like, where are the criminals, like where are the items, to where's the thing, where'd they hide at, so that you can then go through the vent. And if you like deduce wrong, so like, you can go someplace, hold down B, and it's like, it's just like, you want to use your intuition here, and if you do the wrong thing, like, you go, yeah, this is what it is, like, she'll lose a heart there. So there's like a, you know, risk reward, and it's not just like, oh, you pass through. You can die. I think I died once on one of the boss fights. That was mostly my fault because I'm trying to attack, so it was a sword fighter. And it's like, I'm not understanding what it wanted you to do was dodge. And if you dodge, you kind of like auto jump onto their head, and then you can attack.
Oh,
the
bomb thing?
It wasn't the first boss, like, but that's in the
demo, but that sounded familiar, where it's like, yeah, because the dodging is also very, I mean, I've already played the demo, the dodging timing was very, 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 very generous.
Yes, it's super generous, but I was not dodging, I was trying to attack, so yeah. I was kind of like, and it was like, why am I taking damage? Because and it was really what it wanted you to do was dodge, and then you would jump on this boss's head. So after, that's kind of the thing here. So you did that first one with Sword Fighter Peach. There's a second level where you play as the Sword Fighter again, and then that unlocks a third level that's in the basement, and that's where you rescue the actual Sword Fighter, the actual Starry or whatever they're... whatever you're rescuing here, you fight the boss in that one. And then once you beat the boss there, then like, that person's unlocked. And so there's a boss level for each of the different characters, different roles that Peach is playing. And I don't think I've hit on all of them yet. I think I still have maybe like one or two left. It's neat. It's super low impact. Like, I play it for like a half hour. I'm like, yeah, it was fun, and move on with my day.
Yeah, I still want to pick it up, but I need to figure out my voucher situation because I don't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah, sure. Neither would I.
So like, I got that along with Dragon's Dogma 2, and that's because I had like a bunch of credit at a game store that's closing. I was just like,
got to do something.
Yeah, I was like, I get here, and they had both of those, and I was like, they're brand new. Sure. I mean, I generally don't buy Xbox games physically, but got to use this credit if they're leaving, so. But I'm not upset that I am playing it. Like, it's fun. I think once I'm finished, my youngest daughter, she'll probably play it on her Switch, and I think she'll have a good time with it, too. And then finally, I finally got into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That game is fantastic. I am loving it. Remake was very linear. Like, the areas that are open are not very big. This, after you get through the intro area, it just dumps you out in the world. You go get a chocobo. You're riding your giant chicken around everywhere. It is they've made an Ubisoft open world game, so there's like all these marks all over the board, but like the activities you're doing are so ridiculous and filled with character that it's like fun to kind of do one of those again. And it looks beautiful. So I'll be playing that game for quite some time.
Is it worth it to, do you think it would be worth it to skip Remake and just go straight to Rebirth? I kind of feel like if I make myself
play, you know, like skipping the prologue of the game, you know what I mean? Like the,
I mean, so but I can like find something and it'll catch me up on what happened.
So like, no, story wise, it's just like getting the feel, and then like the like what Chris is describing, like the jump from one to the other, where like all of a sudden it opens up, you're not gonna feel that, like.
Yeah, but the problem is like, spending the 30 hours it's going to take me to get to that game is probably not going to happen.
I literally watch it on YouTube.
Well, here's my thing. Is I've been burned by Final Fantasy before by you guys telling me it's good and not going to be cool again.
I would not recommend it for you, Jeff. Like, I think for me, as somebody who is a Final Fantasy fan, and specifically like a fan of 7, and I liked Remake, like this game is exactly what I wanted. It's also way more goofy than Remake, which is kind of dour in a lot of ways. Like, it's like you are a eco terrorist in that one. You're blowing up stuff. The evil corporation is like doing terrorism back at the people to combat it. It's not a fun game, like story wise. This is just like you're on the run from the beginning, and then like you're out in the open world. Like you have to escape this like beautiful little town called Calm, and then you're out in the open world, and it's like, okay, and it's just this beautiful thing. And you get to the Chocobo Ranch, and now I have a fucking giant chicken I can call at all times. It's stupid. The game is dumb, but I'm like enjoying it. And it's the right way to approach this, right? So, like, Midgar in Final Fantasy VII is kind of like the serious portion. And then when that game opens up, which is exactly what Rebirth is that piece right after that, it's that game is stupid. Like, the game is really goofy. You're this oversized person in a, you know, in the original one, you're this oversized sprite on, in the overworld, and you have a, you might have, you know, your little Chocobo 2 to drag you around. But this just has like a bunch of like stuff to do out in the open world. I don't know if you know what Moogles are. They're like these little like floating fairy bears in the world of Final Fantasy. So like I ended up going to, there's like, oh, there's this place on the map, and I ended up going there. And you go into the hut, and it reverses. So now you think you went into a hut, but now you're outside in some other dimension. And these evil Moogles are like, you have to round them up. So like you're trying to like get them all into this little gate area. It seemed like I'm explaining it. You're like, that sounds really stupid, and it is, but it's fun. Like it's like this was super fun. It's super cute looking. You have a talking rat dog partner that is on your team. You can flip any of the party members in and out if they're with you at the time. So you want to play with Barrett and Tifa, or you want to play as Red 13, who's the rat dog guy. You can have them in there. It's real easy to flip between the different characters as you play. I think it's really well done, and it's a much happier and lighter toned game than the first one was. To answer your question, Tony, if you enjoyed like what you played of Remake, like if you're like, yeah, this gameplay is fine enough, like,
yeah,
it's that type of combat. Like that combat hasn't really changed. They've made some adjustments to like how there's like synergies and stuff, so you can build up with your other teammates. Like you can build up synergies and do like combo attacks now that are different from the first game. I think they've redone like the whole skill tree and everything, which was very simplistic in Remake. But if you like that gameplay, that's here. And you could probably, as Earl said, just like watch watch like an explainer video on Remake, probably take you like 40 minutes instead of 30 hours. And there's also the, like, what happened previously. Like, there's like a, you know, when you boot up Rebirth, there's like a what happened in a Remake video that's like 6 minutes long or something that'll kind of touch on a lot of that stuff too. So if you think you like enjoyed what you played of it and you think you'd enjoy like an open world goofy approach to that, I would maybe skip Remake. I think Remake is a good game, but like if you're like, I'm not going to get through it, and you would rather see this one, which is more cheery, then maybe go for it that way. Maybe wait, since you're playing Dragon's Dogma right now. Maybe.
Right, exactly. I don't think I need another game, because I don't need another huge RPG at the moment.
No, and this, like, I mean, even if you mainline it, it's probably like a 40-hour game. And for everybody that I know that has been playing, this is like they're enjoying doing all the side stuff. Like it seems like it's all very well written. It's all fun to do. So like they're ending up like just clearing out the entire map, and that is pushing it from a 70, you know, maybe a 40 to 70 hour game to like 70 to 100 hours. You're already playing one of those, so maybe wait a little bit on it. Good stuff though. I played Stellar Blade. I played the demo of that.
Badass.
I mean, she has an ass. That's for sure.
I was gonna say, I hope, because I heard the stuff that came out about that this week. So.
Oh, what did you hear on that, Earl?
About just the way people. What is it? They fired some women on their staff, and
oh, I did not hear that.
Yeah, and people were claiming it as like a. I don't know I don't know what the term is, but essentially kind of like not like pro gamergate in the sense that like, yeah, this is the real women we want in games and stuff like that.
You remember Chris? I was telling you about how the right claimed Sydney Sweeney's tits as
yes,
anti woke.
Is that what they're doing with
this? I think it's the same thing here.
The right is claiming Stellar Blade as the anti woke video game.
They already turned on Sweeney because her new movie is what, not anti-religious, but what is immaculate,
satanic. We were talking about this last night on the movie show because I had seen that.
I don't know how anybody like goes into a movie that is, you know, a religious horror and is like, yeah, this is not going to be blasphemous. Like,
by the way,
it wasn't even that it came. It was just they started seeing advertisements, and of course people were like, oh, they saw like we were camming her, so they put out this movie. I'm like, people do know movies aren't made in like 2 weeks. I mean, it's probably a crappy movie that happened.
They're so dumb.
The tweet that like. Everyone caught on to, including Neon Studios, was like this guy being like, they saw that she was a new hero of the right, and then they shoved her in this like anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, anti-Mary fucking debacle. And it was like, dude, this movie was like made at least fucking done like a year ago, at least. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Also, didn't she produce it?
She was the reason the movie exists. Like, she had been trying to get it made for 10 years. She loved it, like loved the concept and the script, and then she actually approached the director because she had worked with him before, and she's like, I want you to direct this. Like, she was kind of like guiding the whole fucking thing. And like, they shoved her in this anti-Christian propaganda.
Yes, because they knew that you were claiming her as right wing. Yes, that's exactly why.
And as a very quick aside.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that the first Omen movie is getting like very positive reaction. I thought for sure Immaculate would be the better of the two. But so far, it seems like people really like that first Omen movie as well.
Oh, no, man. I'm not saying it's bad, but like I've seen the Omen movies, they're not great. Like, I don't know if I could do this one.
I always loved part one when I was a little kid. It scared the shit out of me, and I thought it was good. I have not. Maybe I've seen it somewhat recently. Still thought it was all right. The other ones I've seen, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Back to Stellar Blade, though, real briefly. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Back to
video games.
I guess people are saying it's kind of like a Souls-like. I guess. Like, you're not picking up souls. I don't think you lose them if you die. Like, you're picking up, like, chips or something, but I don't think that, like, when you die, you have to go recover them. There are, like, campfires, I guess. And when you go, when you, like, rest at one, like, the enemies respawn. That just seems to be, like, a standard mechanic that people have taken from the Souls games. It doesn't necessarily seem like it's boss-based. Like, there's bosses, but it's more like, oh, you're going to play through this level and then fight a boss. As opposed to kind of like, you know, in Dark Souls or something like that, where it's just a continuous open world and you're going to move through it like that. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think these are levels. You're going to play to the end. You're going to fight a boss, and then there'll be a cutscene. You go to the next thing. It also has difficulty. It has a difficulty level, so there's like you can play. It's, I guess, like normal. There's like a hard mode, and it's like a story mode you can play as well. Plays more like, I don't want to say Devil May Cry, but I guess it's more like that than anything like a Souls-like game.
Bayonetta?
Maybe, but I think it, like Bayonetta and Devil May Cry, you guys have played them, you would say they're responsive, right? Like when you play, like they're fast. Like you press the button, shit happens slick. Immediately on screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they need. Like, they need that
decision. This doesn't feel like it doesn't feel as precise, doesn't feel as responsive as that. There seems like there might be a little bit of a delay in kind of like how she was, and it's very animation focused. So like she moves into an animation, like you need to complete that animation before you can start a new one.
That makes it sound like deliberate, like Souls.
A little bit, but it's,
I hear it's more akin, I think you said Monster Hunter, where it's more kind of a combination base where you're not necessarily doing the timing. It's more like your attacks,
like your attacks
have your attacks have an animation.
Yeah.
Where like Bayonetta and Devil May Cry, it's like you can attack, but a like part of it is like we need an attack, and like maybe you need to roll or parry in between this so you can stop this and figure it out. Where like Monster Hunter or Dauntless are very much like, oh, you're committed to this. So you better make sure when you start your attack that you know where you're aiming for.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, man, you're probably right, Jeff. Like that makes it a little more Souls-like. But I think it's trying to play more like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta, and it just doesn't.
It's like a hybrid of it.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't think I'll be getting it at launch. Maybe in a few months when it's half price, maybe I'll try it then. But also the costumes are fucking stupid. Like her base level costume is just dumb.
Part of me is interested in this just out of the pure I need PlayStation 5 games.
Fair.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm pretty much sticking with Dragon's Dogma for probably at least another couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, and then you're pulling right up to Elden Ring, so.
Yeah.
It's not that far off. I don't know. We'll see. I am interested to see how Stellar Blade does.
I'm interested to see the reviews and stuff.
So weird that they're like, yeah, this is the game. Like, it's the anti-woke game. Like, why? Because there's
titties.
Boobs.
I don't know why they think titties are on their side.
Right?
We are the fucking promoters.
You hate.
We are the promoter. That. Exactly. You hate women. we are on the side of titties. We own titties. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
Sorry. And these aren't like drawn titties. Like, these titties came from like an actual woman that they scanned. Like, a woman. You know? A woman.
Women don't have autonomy in their world.
It is very funny to me how the right like seems to think like they have some sort of like,
theirs.
Yeah, like they have some sort of like hold on sexual content when like the right, like throughout time, has been against that. It's kind of the thing that they're against is like freedom.
They're the Puritans.
Yeah.
Because like in their heads, it's more like, oh, like, I think it's because like normal people, not right or just normal people in general, there's a whole swath of women and body types that people find attractive. And for so long, like, it was very much like one type. And it, you know, like, especially with gaming, I mean, I think, you know, like Lara Croft is a big example. Booty shorts, big boobs, really, but you know, really well defined character. And then like the remake gave her pants and stuff like that, and people were like, oh, they're taking her away. It's the same thing where people came up with like Rogue and like her not having an ass in the new X-Men 97. I'm just like,
oh my god, I saw that, Earl. I saw what you're talking about. That is the most ridiculous, like taking one frame out of a series from the 90s. It's so ridiculous, dude.
Like, how much are you staring at these cartoons to realize, like, yeah, and people pointed out, like, it's not, like, it, but it was, like, yes, it's, like, one frame that they all use to show, like, she does and doesn't have one. And it's just, like, oh, so, you know, this is what they want. This is feminism. And it's, like, no, it's, like, because to your point, because the other thing they complain about is, like, a woman has to be sexy like this, but it can't be the woman's choice. Because these are the same people. Like, there was a guy, one of the insane people on Twitter, who created like that AI that would dress up women in clothes that they posted on, like if they posted in like social media in like a bra and panties or something like that. It's like, oh, this is what a respectable woman would wear. So it would like put on like a skirt or something. So like it's this weird thing with sex in them. But it also goes to the fact that they don't really know what they're talking about. They're insane people.
No, like that, I was gonna say, like I think the main thing with a lot of like the people on the right who do culture war shit is like they don't actually consume the stuff that they're criticizing. They just like find whatever bullshit thing that someone said about something that day, and they're like, "This is bullshit. How did they ruin Ghostbusters for me?" Or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like it's just like, dude, you ain't watching this shit in the first place.
Oh, yeah,
to
that
begin
happens.
With. Go
that
fuck
happens.
Yourself.
Because there's money in it. There's always money in outrage in people. But yes, it's like, again, some of it I paid attention to. I just saw this in passing because I think it blew up like Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Because that's what I heard is like people were just excited to check out the game.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the demo's fine. It does show how stupid those costumes look. I've never seen any sort of material act like that on boobs, unless it's body paint. So it's a weird thing. But also there are different costumes. Like they show a sizzle reel at the end of the demo that, like, you know, you can dress her up any way you want, like including if you want to put her in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, she can wear a hoodie for you. She can wear a construction outfit, like if that's your thing. Can dress her up however you want. There's also like probably a more nude version of the suit. I don't know. Whatever. It's so fucking weird.
All right, pre-ordering.
Did you guys see the little thing? I took a couple snippets of an article that was on, I believe, on Kotaku. And a chart here that showed up at GDC basically says, like, you know, here In 2023, here are the most played games of the year on different platforms, and what their average age is, how long they've been out on the market. And Switch came in with the youngest of games at 3.9 years, but everything else was 7 years or older for the top 10.
So I saw this in passing because the way somebody phrased it, I was like, this can't be right. Because it's something like 60% of the games played last year were 6 years or older.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they phrased it, it made it sound like gamers 6 years and older have played 60% of the games. I'm like, oh, does that mean 40% of games are played by 6 year olds and under? Like, what 3 year old is playing that video game?
The game age themselves, yes. How long they've been out is 6 years or older.
Yes, and it is kind of a good and bad thing, I guess. I mean, the forever games, I imagine some of them are like Call of Duty. I assume Fortnite and Minecraft, the big ones.
Fortnite is the number one game on every platform.
Yes. But like, yeah, I think it just kind of goes to show, one, where a lot of people want to be gas, because if you're gas, you can be a forever game. Destiny's more than 6 years old. Destiny 2, I should say. But the problem with newer games trying that is like everybody has their game now. Like, why are we going to switch from those forever games for your new game of the week?
Yeah,
I think this goes to like the fact that like because gaming has gone mainstream
ish,
the mainstream, like, they are buying it as a toy that plays this game. Like, yeah, you can watch Netflix on it. You can do this or that. But, like, okay.
You can do that on anything, though, right? Like,
Yeah. No one's buying it for Netflix, except me.
Right. It's their Fortnite machine. It's their Call of Duty machine. You know, their Grand Theft Auto 5 machine. Unless you're a Nintendo.
I think most people are not, like, they get it. It's like a toy to them. Like, the system is the toy. Like, the game is the toy, and that's it. It's not about, like, oh, what's the new game called? Am I going to play Stellar Blade? No, they're not thinking about that at all.
They don't know what Stellar Blade is.
Like, they don't care. It's not on the radar. To me, it's like a fundamental, like, you know, I'm kind of the same way with movies. People like have a fundamental lack of curiosity. Like, they're just like,
I don't think it's a fundamental lack of curiosity. I do think, I mean, it's partially that, but I also do think that the industry has in many ways kind of consolidated around certain types of games and genres.
It pushes people towards playing the one game forever too. You're right. Like,
because it's not like an actual curiosity, I guess, would be like, what would you say is like the last major, like, oh, this is very different type of game that we've had that has had any type of in general, what was the last major, like, oh, this is so unique and weird?
Oh God, I don't even know.
Not unique and weird. You know, I don't think that, like, I don't know. Most of these games are that unique and weird.
Well, they're good
and they're accessible.
But you say people aren't doing their curiosity, but part of it is like the industry hasn't really fed that curiosity. I mean, I would say the last major time we had that, like, was Wii Sports. That was one where, like, there was a natural curiosity. I'm not saying that it hasn't been new games and genres since then, but I feel like a lot of those have catered more towards like gamers who are already into games versus something like a Mario 64, which is like, oh, this is brand new. I've never seen anything like this. Wii Sports was a new way to interact with the medium. A lot of stuff we've seen in the past 10, 15 years has been, this is a great format. We want to build on this in some fashion. Even stuff like Fortnite built on PUBG with the battle royale, and like that, I would say would probably be a curiosity.
Let's bolster Earl's argument here and say maybe it's rare that like we get shit that's fucking good.
I don't know if it's rare that we get shit that's good. I think it's
that's that mass appeal, that's something that's surprising and new and captures the public's imagination. Even like Baldur's Gate 3, sure. I think it's an amazing game. But that's not like actually that did draw in people that did not know the genre, me being one of them.
Yes, but it was
it's not something that's gonna grab my sister who plays, you know, Mario Kart with her kids. You know what I mean?
I will say, not curiosity, but the combination of the pandemic and stuff, like 2020 between like Animal Crossing, Among Us, and Fall Guys, those I thought were really, Animal Crossing was the right game at the right time, but I think Fall Guys and Among Us were ones where it's like, those are games anybody can play. I think Fall Guys more than anything didn't know how to prolong that till because it became more of a game over time. And I think once you started adding in elements of skill, like how many people still play Fall Guys?
I just think that's a game that you play for like a couple days and you're like, all right, I've seen it. That's fun.
And then you fall off.
Yeah,
literally.
I think it was a game.
Once you win, like I won a round, I have not touched that game since.
Yes, as I say, I think it's like you try to, but I think because it's one of the things I always say, it's like what I say about Mario Kart and Mario Party. It's like there's an element of skill, but the games are always kind of balanced in a way that anybody thinks they have a chance of winning. Like I think if you're good enough at Mario Kart, especially people who pay the tracks enough to know like shortcuts and stuff, you will win 90% of the time. But the game always gives you that illusion that you have a chance of winning. I think Fall Guys was really good at that at first. And then Fall Guys started to be like, we are going to make this more, like the stages aren't just simply like obstacle courses. Like now there's elements of platforming and knowing how to like actually even hold on to these things that, or like timing. And that I think that's the type of stuff where it's like, oh, now you kind of, you turn off one person, you turn off two people. And over time, you turn off more and more people. Where you end up with this dwindling fan base where, I mean, to be fair, it's number 10 on the list of PlayStation and number 7 on the Switch. So there's still an active audience, I guess. I just don't hear about it in the same way.
Right.
I think that, like, most of the things that, like, this, you know, article or whatever hits on have always been true in a way against, you know, different entertainment genres or mediums. But to me, what's surprising is the number is that like only 8% of video game playtime was spent on new non-annual titles. So like, yeah, again, none of it surprises me, but 8%, that's kind of surprising me.
That seems low, doesn't it? Almost impossible.
Well, and it's weird, right? Because like we talk about games every week. We talked about like 6 different games tonight.
Right.
And
none of the four of us could play games like that. It's impossible. We could not do it.
But I do wonder, and I talked about this a little bit with Jeff last night. I'm interested to see your perspective, Tony, from your kids' side, because I watch how my kids play, and like my son, he's not home anymore, but like when he was home, he was playing, like he would play Fortnite, he'd play Overwatch, he'd play Rocket League. Like he wasn't generally playing like what we consider as like, you know, the big games, like the single player stuff. He was just playing stuff with his friends that like he could have, you know, we're talking with them all the time. My youngest daughter, she plays Minecraft and Roblox. That's it. Like she'll play Mario Kart with us, like when we play, but like she's not seeking that out.
Yeah.
How do your kids approach games? Like, well, I know like your kids are like into Monster Hunter and stuff, but right. do they like stick into one game or are they bouncing around?
Do they look forward
to these new games? They'll get really excited. Okay. They'll play them for a few hours, but like if I were to tell you, like my son who's got, I got him Princess Peach, I got him Mario versus Donkey Kong. Like he wanted those games. He's super excited, but his most played game of 2024 is Castle Crashers.
So a game that's like 15 years old.
Like
that's very funny.
I think if I were to add my two kids together, I bet the most played game for so far this year is Minecraft. Like they get all these games, they have access to them, they can play them whenever they want, and of course, you know, part of that is their father providing that because he could also wants to play these games. But they're reaching back to these games they've played so much of. And they're trying to master. Like one of the things about Monster Hunter, like that game's old now. Like what has it been like 6 years, 7 years for it's Monster blind. Hunter World?
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
And my kids have put tons, like hundreds of hours into that game.
That's awesome.
That's not
man.
A new game, right? That's like it's been around.
I think Tony's just got cool kids. They're just playing the best games.
They're pretty cool, but like they are reach back to these games. They like invest in a game and try to master it, and that's just not something that I personally would do.
Yeah, right? And I think it's. I mean, we are ancient now, but thinking back to like when we were kids, I think one of the big differences is when we discuss games on the playgrounds and stuff, it's like, oh man, that sounds really. You'd borrow that person's game or their game or whatever, or you're going out a game. It's like now it's like, oh, this game sounds really cool. Yeah, I mean, you can. Oh, let me show you how to play it because like I don't have kids, but my nephew got into Fortnite because like one of his friends in school plays, so they play, and it's so weird. Like they will literally call each other on the phone, not say anything, just play Fortnite together. I'm like, okay, sure, that works. I don't know you're on the phone. Roblox is another one. Still don't really entirely understand that, but I've seen you know, like one, I think Roblox, Fortnite, and Minecraft have that thing where just because you kind of have that continuity where like you can play them on your smartphone, that progress carries over to your PC version.
Yeah.
It carries over to your console version. So you know, you have that like, yeah, I can play on the go, or I can play like, you know, on the school bus, I can play on the road trip, whatever. But Roblox is like an everything game because as far as I can tell, it's just a hub for different types of games that people make.
Yes.
Yeah, I know kids who are very into that. And I think it's at Fortnite, you know, I'm a big Fortnite. Fortnite is one of those things too, where like, I play Fortnite. I play the actual Battle Royale thing. But like, there are a lot of people who never touch that because there's so many modes and gameplays in there now that do different things, that's what they're into. They play Fortnite because everybody else is playing Fortnite, but they don't actually play the part where you're shooting each other. They play like the shoot, you know, kill animals, or like there's ones where you build up houses and workshops and stuff like that, and people play that. There's, you know, they have racing now, they have music, they have a version of Minecraft in there now, and that's people play that. So I think these games are just becoming HUDs, and it's like, I'm gonna, like, you know, I come here constantly, and I'm like, oh, I don't have any new games, and I'm like, I haven't known new games, but I spent like 10 hours on Fortnite this week. And it's like, yeah, it's a time sink. And it has cracked my brain, because I don't do as many single-player games anymore, because when I have time, I'm like, oh, I've played games already in a day, and it's Fortnite, or it's, you know, Diablo, or something like that. But yeah, the other thing I was fascinated by this is one, I was surprised that the Switch was the youngest, but then I realized it's probably because it doesn't have GTA and Call of Duty. I think that adds to the age in that.
It criteria. Doesn't. It also has Pokemon, which is insanely popular. And their stuff sells well that year, right? Like, so
yeah,
you know, Zelda was their number two game played last year, Mario Wonder number three, Pokemon Scarlet Violet is what, that's 2 years old now,
year and a half?
So that stuff kind of like, yeah, drops that the overall age down.
Actually, what? Okay, so the newest game for Sony was EA Sports FC 24. Not even Madden?
Wild that Madden, I don't think it sells quite as well anymore.
And I guess not as well.
Good!
Not as well, because I think FIFA has always done better globally because it's just bigger. And then the newest game for Xbox is Starfield.
Wild that Spider-Man not on that list.
I wonder if it's because I was gonna say it's a single player game, but then it says that Kingdom, to your point, is the number two game on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
And Starfield is a single player game on the Xbox. Yeah, there are no single player game. That is very fascinating. Because, like, the old adage is, like, Sony is kind of, like, the big single-player cinematic-driven games. And, like, none of their games are on that list. Where Microsoft got one and Nintendo has... Well, Nintendo has a bunch of games, but...
Two very notable, like, single-player type games, yeah. Though. Up in their top three.
If you want to count Hogwarts...
Oh, yeah, down at number 9. And, I mean, I guess Pokemon is ultimately, like, I mean, you can play against other people, but...
Oh, wait, what were you counting?
But that's not how most people play that game.
I was doing Zelda and Mario, but...
Oh, I thought you were doing Zelda and Pokemon.
Mario Wonder was at number 3. I know you can kind of...
That's why when you said that, I'm like, oh, so... But I was like, oh, no, Pokemon, I think, is... Pokemon, I think of as a single player game, and that yes, there's an aspect of social elements to it, but like the core game is single player. Or yeah, was that the one that added that weird co-op?
Yeah, I don't know. Tony, did your guys play Scarlet and Violet?
Oh, a ton of it. So much of it. I mean, I played it too.
What was there a weird co-op thing going on?
I don't remember there being a weird co-op thing though.
Oh, okay, maybe I was. I could have sworn it was something. I mean, I know they introduced the raid battles in Sword and Shield or whatever.
I mean, there is this weird raid thing where you can go in and fight giant Pokemon with other people. I guess
yeah,
if that's weird co-op.
But I mean, that is weird co-op. But that one again, I've always played Sword and Shield, and that was with sick. Like you had to go take these giant things, and then you had to summon random people when you were there, and like you'd win or lose together, and then you'd move on. It's like you got. Form the party or anything, but yeah, it is. I mean, again, this will be refreshed when GTA 6 comes out, and I guess just GTA 6. I don't really know what else would change here for a lot of people.
Yeah, because Call of Duty is just kind of like a platform now, so Modern Warfare 3, right? That was last year, Jeff.
Yeah.
So I guess technically that's the latest game for both Xbox and PlayStation, but it's not a single player game. People, I mean, not that we don't play the campaigns in Call of Duty, but majority of people buy those for the multiplayer.
Majority of people. Playing Roblox.
Yes, lots of people play Roblox. Yeah, it's. I just thought it was interesting that, like, you know, we seemingly play games very differently than the majority of people.
And everyone,
I think some of the like part of this is kind of assumed. It's kind of where I was getting at, but like, just the percentages, you're just like, geez, man. Like, gaming is mainstream, but it's mainstream in the fact that, like, the dorky people in your lives are playing games and they're playing just that Roblox, Fortnite, Minecraft, and that's it.
Well, I think that was always the case, in the sense that whenever people talk about gaming going mainstream, I think they've always stopped short of telling you what actually went mainstream. Because like when it started to go mainstream, it wasn't the games we would be playing. It was stuff like Cut the Rope, Fruit Ninja, Angry Birds. Like that's the games people were playing.
Sometimes it's games that you would play as well, But they also have just a super mass appeal and just all the way back to like NBA Jam, Mortal Kombat. Like, those are things that kind of caught people's attention just regardless.
I mean, and to be fair, sports games will continue to do well.
Yeah, yeah. There's people I've known my whole life that, like, they buy their system, they buy their Xbox to play Madden.
Yeah.
You know,
so I have a friend who...
Hey, good for you.
I had a friend who goes PlayStation over Xbox simply for the fact that they had the show. It was just, you know, like, I used to, several of my best friends, actually, I would always go to their houses when we were younger, and it would be... Like some friends, it would be like a Russian game, then whatever that NBA game was that, you know, back when NBA Live was out and then NBA 2K. And like some friends now, I go to the house, it's like Madden 16, Madden 17, Madden 18,
yeah,
Madden
19. That's just it. Yeah.
And that is completely fine. That is completely fine. I just always find it funny, but that is totally fine. It happens. But stories, there's been several stories out this week about the industry. Where people are like, it's not growing. We haven't really grown in like three generations. And this is across the board in the console space, I should say. But people were making money, so nobody cared about that. And now you're kind of getting to the point where like budgets are getting so high and the industry's not growing. You have to find some way to kind of squeeze Judd out of a stone. And that's why we're seeing so many layoffs. But it's also one of those things where we've spent so much time as an industry, not us, focused on like bigger and better that like it's what you can sell to us, but it's like it's never been what you sell to the mass consumers. And now nobody really knows how to pivot and be like, we can make cheaper games that will sell to people to help us not have to fire 50% of our work staff every year.
Be nice. All right. Well, yeah, I thought this was an interesting kind of look into how people are spending time playing games and how we are not the normal.
Yeah.
I always thought we were so normal. I was convinced.
Well, if we're going to talk about how we're not normal, though, this case, I think it's the industry not being normal. But BAFTA, I always forget what that actually stands for. They had like a fan poll, I guess, to determine the most iconic video game characters of all time.
No.
And
what was on it, Earl?
Well, number one was Lara Croft. Which
of all time?
Yes. Like I could see a case for Lara Croft being top five. I'd probably put her somewhere in the top 10. But number one, it seems iffy.
In a world where Mario exists.
Can Lara Croft be number one?
Mario's up there, but even Mario exceeded Pac-Man. I would put up before her.
Yeah,
Sonic,
absolutely.
Pikachu.
I don't know about Sonic. Like maybe.
I think Sonic, just because Sonic has had the longevity. Like I think Sonic is one of those because two hit movies.
Yeah,
a dozen animated series, long running comic books franchise. You know, crossovers in Smash Brothers. IHOP just has a menu with him now. Like, I think, like, you can show somebody a picture of Sonic, and I think they will recognize Sonic.
Yeah, sure.
Pac-Man. I don't know if as I Sub-Zero and Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I would say Ryu and Ken. I think people would know who they are. I don't think people would be able to name them. Like, oh, they're from that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Where you punch things.
Yes. But, and then Master Chief.
Yeah.
I would say Kratos can, I think Kratos and Lara Croft are probably around the same level.
I guess the one thing Lara Croft has going for her are the Tomb Raider movies.
Also, them titties. I'm sorry, I missed the beginning.
I think I could show my wife a picture of the Angelina Jolie in those Tomb Raider movies, and she'd be like, "Yeah, that's that Lara Croft thing."
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying she's not iconic, but she's
more iconic than Mario is.
Yes. Well, okay, so here's Lara Croft number one was mind blown, but then Agent 47 from Hitman was number three.
Okay, I saw this list. I'm sorry, I stepped away for a second.
Yeah. And I was like,
no.
No, yeah.
I mean, he's awesome. Don't get me wrong.
But he's not a person. Like, that's kind of like his character is that he has no character. That's his thing.
I mean, he's a bald white dude. I would say Professor X before him if I randomly saw a picture. Like, I could not, like, bald white dude in a black suit, I think. I don't know any. I mean, I guess he has a barcode on the back of his head.
He has those two movies too.
Yes, unrated.
Those movies are terrible.
We watched one of them. It wasn't good.
I was gonna say, didn't you watch one?
Yeah,
one of them has Timothy Oliphant, and he's so weird looking. Bald.
Is that not the one that you guys watched?
I think it was.
There's two of them. I always forget which is which. I think he's in Hitman, Agent 47, and then there's just a movie called Hitman. Yeah, number four, Sonic. And then number five, I also had issues with, was Sackboy.
And no.
Nobody knows who the fuck Sackboy is.
No. I don't think so.
Again, I know who he is.
Voted on this shit?
I don't.
Not the people that are playing Fortnite.
But like, yeah, I'm never going to make, oh, yes, I know Sackboy more than I know Pac-Man or Yink or Kratos or Lara Croft or Pikachu.
Fucking Q-Bert is more iconic than Sackboy.
I would say even maybe somebody like Gex or Grover would be more iconic than Sackboy. Banjo and Kazoo. Wow,
we're dragging Little Big Planet through the mud.
Ratchet and Clank.
Dax?
Donkey Kong? Oh, yep.
Donkey Kong should, yeah, exactly. Donkey Kong should be like right behind Mario, probably. Like,
he's not on this list.
That's
who's number one?
Lara Croft.
That's so weird. What the fuck?
Yes.
Maybe so we're really, really old and like.
No.
No. Yeah, you're right.
No, but like, even if we're really old, like, I mean, Donkey Kong was just in a fucking billion-dollar movie.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows who Donkey Kong is.
Mario had his title on that movie.
I cannot show my wife a picture of Agent 47 and her go, yeah, I know who that is. Like, I could show her a picture of fucking Donkey Kong.
Okay. So,
yes. Argument settled right there.
The two, yes, and that's the thing. Like you said, we may be old, Jeff. But that, if anything, that would prove the point. Like, the purpose of being iconic is that even if you don't
know... I just always worry that, like, kid, like let's say, like, a 10-year-old kid today may have never heard of Donkey Kong or Mario, but it's probably wrong. They've played Mario Kart, probably. And
yeah, that's what I say. The thing is, like, Donkey Kong is so intertwined with Mario. He's always... He's in the movie. He's in Smash Brothers. So even if Donkey Kong himself hasn't been in a new game in a decade.
And they've probably never played Donkey Kong, but they know who he is, you know?
Yes. But again, yeah, Donkey Kong stage in Smash Brothers. But yes, they know who Donkey Kong is. Like, yes, I don't think he's as iconic as he would have been in like the 80s and 90s, but like he's still up there.
Top five.
The ones that bugged me more, and maybe this might just be me being old and not knowing, is Shadowheart and Asteria from Baldur's Gate 3, which just feel like recency bias.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah.
Because, like, honestly, I've not played Baldur's Gate, so, but like, I've heard nothing about any of these characters.
Right, yeah. Like he's
yeah.
The...
I mean, he was the most interesting character in the game to me personally, but like
Shadowheart, baby,
and she was great too. But they're not like.
It's too new. It's like, yeah. you can't do
like
that.
They will probably never be in a game again. Like they're
right.
Yeah.
What numbers were they at, Earl?
They Shadowheart was number 10 and Asterio was 17.
Huh. Yeah, that has to be recency bias. Like,
yeah, it's just like, oh, this game is the best game ever made. And I get it, because it's great. But 40 years from now, people are going to know who Donkey Kong is. Will they know who Asterio is? Maybe. I don't know. But
again, it's like, you folks would know who they are. Or people who do not. Like, again, the reason, like, Mario's like Mickey Mouse.
Everyone.
Mickey Mouse exactly. Hasn't really done much in my life. In terms of, like, being in movies or TV shows. But we all know who he is.
Absolutely, yes.
Mario's just like, I mean, when you think Mario really hasn't been a thing until like the past few years with Nintendo, like taking him. But like people knew who he was because he's in these big games. Pikachu's in the goddamn Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Everyone knows who that stupid mouse is. Agent 47. I don't know why you would know him.
No, right. He was in two middling. Movies.
Wow! Oh,
not games. The games are popular, but they're popular amongst people who play those games.
I agree with what you're saying.
Iconic wise, like the movies are like they made like $60 million. Like nobody except people that played Hitman saw them,
and then they complained about it.
Yeah,
he's known to like the gaming community, but yeah, I got top five most iconic. Not even close to that.
Was Pac-Man on the list at all?
Yes, Pac-Man is 6. So he's after he's after Sackboy.
Come on now.
See? He had a song. I mean, granted, it's a song from the 80s, but nobody's singing I Have Agent 47 Fever.
I mean, Pac-Man was in an Adam Sandler movie. Like, it's not a good movie, but he was in it.
Do the top 10.
The top 10. Lara Croft, number 1. Mario, number 2. Agent 47, number 3. Sonic the Hedgehog, number 4. Sackboy, number 5. Pac-Man, number 6. Ink, number 7. Master Chief, number 8. Kratos, number 9. Shadowheart, number 10.
It's wild.
Shadowheart, number 10. Couldn't come up with that. I've played 5. Was this written by like a 15-year-old?
Is this is voted on by people?
Absolutely wild to me too that like, I mean like Aerith was just part of a New York Times article. So like you would think somebody from Final Fantasy VII, like I think most people know who like Cloud and Sephiroth are.
Cloud is number 16.
I've heard of those names.
Right, you've at least heard of them. Like,
yeah.
And even then, Link,
they would be below like,
extremely higher, yes.
And this would be below that. Like the would be below that.
As much as Zelda, I think Link should be Pikachu should be above Link. I think easily. I think Pikachu should be above Link. I think Donkey Kong should be up there.
Yep.
I think. And again, like you know, I'm trying to think. Like I'm just, in my head now. I'm just trying to think of this match or this roster. I feel like that's the home of a ton of icon. I think Scorpion or Sub Zero should be in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, very generic. I mean, Mortal Kombat has a ton of ninjas that kick them, but like I think you know, like 3 movies, you know, a ton of animated movies. Cultural catchphrases, songs, Mortal Kombat's up there. Like I said, I do think people know Street Fighter, but I think if I was to pick an iconic character from Street Fighter, it would oddly be Chun-Li.
Chun-Li, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with her like buns, I think that, like,
it's a unique yoke. It's a unique name. Yes, where Ken and Ryu are.
They're the karate guys.
Yes, they're known, but it's like, yeah, it's the game with Chong Yi.
And I would bet that like one out of every four people you show Ken and Ryu to are like, they're the Double Dragon guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So. I always say the green guy,
Baraka. Wait, Baraka?
Is it a Baraka?
The green guy with the orange hair.
Bianca?
Blanca, that's it.
We don't even know who they are.
But I know Bianca.
I'm a fraud.
I play Street Fighter, so.
When you say Baraka, I think of the guy from Mortal Kombat, the Jaws.
You're right. The guy with the
I thought Baraka was president of the United States. What are we talking about?
He'll fucking pull out the fucking, like, you know, sword arms
from Mortal Kombat.
Baraka's fucking the shit. I'm talking about Blanca.
You know, Biden was VP. That guy. Yeah. That guy.
That's what I think of for whatever reason. I'm not a Street Fighter player, so.
But you know the characters, which is.
I know, like. The two dudes, and I couldn't pick them out of the lineup which one was which.
But
Blanca and Chun Li.
Dalism?
No. Maybe, I guess from the name, I'd probably figure it out. Like
long arms.
Long arm. You got flames. You got fire.
Guile. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Yes, right. The guy with the flat top.
Yep.
Yes.
That was what. Jean-Claude Van Damme, right, in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've never seen the movie, but yeah. I thought he was supposed to be the main... What's that?
These are all more iconic than Agent 47 and Sakura.
For sure.
Oh, that's a wild list, Earl. Thank you for bringing that up. I had not seen that. That's nuts.
It's an insane one. I was just like, and again, I don't want to say I Lara Croft. I've never really played it. I think I played the first of the reboot, the second reboot.
But that, like, new trilogy is all great games. Those games are all fun. Yeah.
I know Lara Croft is very, you know, I know her look, you know, very distinct. Again, I would say I can see an argument for five. I would say probably top 10. But like number one,
absolutely not.
But no, again, even then, like, my bigger qualms is like Agent 47 and Sack Boy, even being on this list. I don't think they would cross. I would say 50 video game characters. I don't think they would come in my top 50.
We should do that. We should come up with a list in a couple weeks of our top 50 most iconic video game characters.
I will meet you halfway. If we get it down to 25.
We could do that. Yeah. We could do that. I think we could come up with that. All right. It's getting late. Tony has to leave for Seattle. Earl, when are you busing to Philly?
Yes, tomorrow.
Okay. So you'll be here in my hometown shortly. We'll be back next week, though. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.